My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by a very exciting guest host today. I am really excited to have Brad Huddleston with us. Welcome, Brad.
Liz, thank you. I'm so honored. Been looking forward to this for a while.
You're signing in from Virginia, and I'm here in the studio in Baltimore. My usual co-host, Roger, is in the air on his way to Argentina, so he gives his well wishes to us and wishes he could be here. But just by way of quick introduction, I want to give you as much time as possible to get into this topic, but I want to introduce you a little bit. So Brad is a speaker and an author who travels all over the world, not just the country, talking about this topic. He has two books. The first is called Digital Cocaine, and the second is called Digital Rehab. And both of those are available on his website, which is bradhuddleston.com. And I think we'll put those in the notes for people to see. But as you can tell from the title of his books, we are going to be talking about the dangers of technology and what Brad has termed digital addiction. And it's like he mentioned when we were just catching up, not a new problem. But I do think it is becoming more and more obvious to those of us with kids and even adults that we have a problem with technology. So, Brad, we're really excited to have you and just to pick your brain a little bit today.
Listen, Liz, it's just a joy. And given the nature of the topic, I'm always amazed that I get invited to speak around the world and on podcasts, because it's not one of those things that initially makes you feel good. We were talking off camera that, you know, truth sets you free. And I'm commanded to do that in love, because before I do science and write books and all that, I'm a missionary, I'm a minister. So I have to do that in love. And that's the motivation behind it. So I just want folks to know, we're going to have a little bit of a bumpy ride at first, because we're going to tell the truth. But the motive is restoration. It's what digital rehabilitation is all about. So we care very much for people. We want to see people made whole and well, because that's what Jesus came to do, is to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And we want to be the extension of his arms in this topic, which is obviously a big one.
Yeah, that's a really important thing to say right out of the gate, because I gave you full permission to just give the whole truth on this. And we know it can be ugly. So I am welcoming that. We are excited to hear what you have to say, but also realize that this is a topic that some can resist a little bit. We've gotten very comfortable with our relationships with technology. And I know for those listening, maybe some of the things we hear will be challenging. I plan to be challenged by this as a parent with three kids, but like you said, this is the truth in love, and God wants us to be healthy in our entirety, in our mind, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit. And this topic is huge, huge. We don't want to underestimate it. I mentioned a proverb, and I want to mention it again on while we're live here. Proverbs 22:3, it says that the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So our hope today is that we would be ready and willing to listen and to heed these words and maybe make some pretty big changes for some of us. This could lead to some big changes. And my hope and prayer as I was driving into the studio this morning was that this could really change lives, transform families, heal people's relationships, bring them closer to God. And I don't think that that's overstating it, because I have seen the impact of detoxing from my relationship with my phone specifically. And it's helped my marriage, it's helped my relationship with my kids, and it absolutely has helped my relationship with God. So let's dive in. I'd love to hear from you if you could just paint a picture of what we're talking about here. What are the dangers? What is it that we need to be aware of?
I think it would be beneficial to Liz if I preface it by making a couple of statements. I used to did not talk about my credentials and things like that, but my editor came to me and said, Brad, you're getting the reputation as a guy who hates technology, and I think you should tell people what your qualifications are. So when I first graduated from college, I have a four-year degree in computer science, minored in mathematics and Spanish, but it's computer science. And then I graduated the same day with a Bible degree. So I went through with the nerds and got that piece of paper, and then I had to break and run around with all the holy people and get that one. I have not renounced my computer science degree. So the second thing I would say is I have a massive, well, it's in my basement, but I have a lot of space in here with a lot of computers. I have a studio I'm in. I own this stuff, and I have all these same stuff as you, and it requires an enormous amount. I have fiber optic running in here. So I'm using technology, but I will say no one has ever come to me and said, Brad, I'm so addicted to your presentations. So it's how you use it. Okay. All right. So I have a verse that I would like to open up with as well. So if you see me look down, it's because where you have Sebastian helping you in the background, I have me today. I don't have any engineers in here helping me, so I'm going to have to push all these buttons in here myself.
All right.
But it's a lot of technology. But here's a verse that I want to open with. So if you can maybe make this full screen, let's look at this. Everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me. And Liz, here's the issue, but I will not be enslaved by anything, which means to be brought under its power, allowing it to control me. Even clinically, that is the definition clearly of addiction. So that's what I'm talking about. These things are beneficial. They're permissible. But then there's a line when it becomes not beneficial. And so that's where we're headed today. So I'm not against technology. I have a lot of it in here, and I use it on an ongoing and regular basis. I created most of what you will see when I show you things here today. That said, I'm going to show you a little bit later when we get into the solution sections, the things that tend to cause poor brain scans related to digital and things that don't, because there is a proper use. So a scriptural foundation would be out of Corinthians that I just showed you. The other thing that I would say is I am in collaboration with the research and the neuroscience division at the University of South Africa. I'm not a neuroscientist, although my dissertation, I'm trying to finish up a doctorate in 2025. And what I will be doing is to tag on to the books that I've written. I'm going to be detoxing families, bringing in the medical establishment, the neuro folks, and we're going to try to quantify both quantitatively and qualitatively. And out of that will come curriculum where churches and small groups can lead their... pick somebody in the church or the group to moderate, and then take lots of people through a detox and then learn how to maintain that detox and use this to their advantage instead of their disadvantage. So
really
that's the ultimate goal, but we're going to have to take a little bit of a bumpy ride to discern what are causing bad brain scans and what are not causing bad brain scans. So let's just jump off right here. If we could, we're in the middle of an absolute global mental health crisis. So one of the countries that I spend months in every year is Australia. I work with the police there. I'm heavily involved in the education system, churches, obviously, lots of public and secular groups there. Australia was the first to actually do something about it just last month. What I mean is about this mental health crisis. So their media jumped in, and you saw front page articles in their news from their major newspapers, losing a generation. And if you zoom in on this, it says why we need a social media ban. What was happening, and by the way, the prime minister started calling for the entire nation to get their kids off of social media. Now, what I want to point out is what he was not saying. He was not saying it's about balance. He was not saying to limit social media. Saying get them off. So last month, Australia was the first country to push over a domino where they have banned social media, not just at school, but at home for those under the age of 16. And they're going to fine all the major social media companies for every breach of that law. Large sums of money. They mean business there, and they should. I support it 100%. In fact, the age is still too low, but we'll take what we can get. The next thing that I'm going to work on is a smartphone ban, including texting. That's because, and the reason why they pushed that domino over, we saw the suicidal ideations globally about 6 years ago, just hockey stick, just start going straight up. And then there was a long trail of suicides last year from 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, all directly related to social media. So what the Americans did, they debated it as well. And they've opted for warning labels here. Australia said, no, they can't handle it. So from a neuroscience point of view, what I want to say to parents is this. These devices that we have are dopamine-producing machines. And I think we all know what dopamine is by now. It's the pleasure chemical. The irony is we also needed to learn. So your children cannot learn mathematics, English, Spanish, whatever they're taking, unless they have dopamine. The problem is at high quantities, dopamine becomes extremely addictive. So when a Coke addict is snorting Coke, they are actually chasing dopamine high. When an alcoholic drinks alcohol, they are chasing dopamine because these are accelerants in the brain and they cause you to buzz and then ultimately get high. So the ingestion point, obviously, for cocaine would be the nose. The ingestion point for heroin most often would be a needle. Alcohol would be the mouth. It would metabolize through the liver and make it to the brain and produce dopamine. With screens, it's the eyes. In other words, that's just how it gets in. But it ends up in an area of the brain called the nucleus accumbens. It's part of the reward circuit, and it's a little cluster of nerves that gets really excited by this dopamine whenever we stimulate that area. And not all stimulation is bad, I hope. That when you read scripture, you're stimulated and it draws you to want to do more. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit's in there. You can't put that in a brain scan and see him. I wish you could. It'd be awesome. But and at least we at least know that God made that for us to enjoy. In other words, it's okay for us to enjoy things. The problem is addiction, as I mentioned before. It's when it has power over you, allowing it to control you. So I want to show you some more of these headlines and what ultimately has happened. So the prime minister is saying, get the kids off of social media, and it's because of the mental health crisis. Obviously, in Australia, they're calling it an epidemic. I call it a pandemic because I go from one country to the next, and it is the exact same thing. I was just in Kenya and was on the border of Uganda, and there were students from Rwanda there and another couple countries, and we just see it everywhere around the world. And this teen body shame crisis where you have eating disorders, they're committing self-harm. But this is also extremely alarming. About 10 years ago, I saw my first study where video gamers' brains were shrinking. So the best way to describe what's happening with brain shrinkage is someone who is in a car accident, and let's just say they've been paralyzed from the waist down. They're in a wheelchair, and they're able to push themselves, which means up top from the waist up, because they've been able to be physically active, they still have muscle mass. They still have bone density. But over time, the legs in that wheelchair will begin to shrink due to atrophy. So what was happening with video gamers, because of the sheer amount of hours that they play, they were neglecting other parts of the brain, and the brain just shut down and started shrinking. So what has happened, this is Macquarie University, for those who like your sources cited, and you should, you know, this is in Australia. They have discovered that the social media usage in terms of the amount of time that people are spending on it are catching up. And guess what's happening to children's brains? They're shrinking. And Liz, by far the number one problem that somebody like me has, and there's not very many of us going around the world publicly, a lot of people writing books about this, but not a lot of people speaking publicly about it. The number one problem that we have is that everybody agrees with this because you see it everywhere. But the way addiction works, they believe they and their children are the exception. So the average global age of a video gamer, Liz, what would you say it is globally? What would you guess the average global age of a video gamer to be?
14?
It's 35.
Oh, my God.
And wow. Here in America, it's 35 to 44. The Australia Federal Police did a research project 2 years ago. It's 34 there. In the Philippines, it's 32. So it's here in America, again, depending on where you live, it's 35 to 44. And the reason that generation, they're millennials, which I think you are, you were the first to grow up totally immersed in a digital world. And gaming was lifestyle. It was the first time we'd seen gaming become just part of people's, it's an extension of themselves. So that crop of young people have now grown up and they have children. We call those Gen Z. So we have two layers of severe addiction, and the dads and the mothers are more addicted than the children most often, as evidenced by the video game statistics. So all of this emphasis on these newspaper articles are on teenagers, teenagers, teenagers. And when I get interviewed in the media, I amen them and thank them. We need to put the attention there, but also say it's time to get mom and dad off. And we can't find grandma anymore because she's discovered Pinterest and she's discovered Facebook. And so we have this problem where, you know, the Gen Xers and the boomers, their biblical worldview rates are 7% and 10% respectively. And with Gen Z and with the millennials, it's 4%. And George Barna,
what do you mean by that? Let me pause you. What do you mean their biblical worldview?
Well, when George Barna and the Institute 360 or 360 Institute, I might have that backwards, but we all know who Barna Research is and the Institute 360, when they did their big research project to figure out, these are Christian research organizations, what the biblical worldview rates are here in the United States. They discovered that Gen X had 7%, and then the millennials, 4%, and the Gen Z, 4%. And what's shocking, the parents who are raising Gen Alpha, which are the current crop of really, really young ones, only 2% of those parents have a biblical worldview. So it's not being transferred. Wow. So they have biblical worldviews. And when you read their articles, they say with social media and the amount of time that people are spending on social media, that's where their values are coming from now. Mm-hmm. So instead of immersing ourselves from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, going line by line and letting our entire DNA be saturated with God's inerrant, infallible, God-breathed word, which we used to do, now the ethos, the ethics, the morals, you name it, is coming in from elsewhere. So we have all these people that are under a Christian roof, whether it be a Christian home, a Christian school, whether it be a youth group, Christian youth group, but they're tethered 24/7 with that device outside of that Christian roof. So what they're ingesting, in other words, is not coming from underneath that Christian roof. It's coming from outside of that Christian roof. So, right. So gotten into them, and their biblical worldview rates are very low. So if you give, you know, a biblical test or what they really look at, when you ask them questions about LGBTQ or trans and all these issues, they take the side of those folks as opposed to what is clearly spelled out in the book of Romans, Corinthians, you know, Leviticus, you name it. And it's because they're most often don't even know those things exist in the Bible. So we have churches that never bring those up. They skip over those. I mean, it's a whole plethora. Not all churches do that. I'm just saying that is one reason. Sure. And so they're not given a biblical worldview from a very young age. So in the education circles, for example, here in the U.S., one of the groups that I work with from time to time is a group called Renewination. And gosh, it must have been 15 years ago, they were the first to endorse the first book that I wrote in this, that's not even in print anymore, called The Dark Side of Technology. I wrote that one about 15, 16 years ago. They sent me on a Beltway tour around DC to Christian schools. And what they told me was Christian schools are not teaching biblical worldview anymore. They're training children to get into prestigious secular schools. And I've been speaking in Christian schools forever, but I did the chapels. I really didn't get into the minutiae and get into the weeds of that sort of the curriculum, that sort of thing. So I started to casually ask as I was doing this Beltway tour, hey, can I speak with your Bible department head? And yeah, sure. So we'd have coffee. And look, I didn't go in judging or both barrels blazing, none of that. I just asked questions like, hey, what's your Bible curriculum look like? I remember the first one. Oh, we just print stuff off the internet. And that scared me. And I was like, biblical worldview coming off the internet. That's iffy. I mean, you can find good stuff, but it's also loaded with a lot of bad stuff. So anyway, Renewination was not cursing the darkness, but they have come alongside schools all over this nation now to reintegrate biblical worldview. And it's because we've identified, or they did, that we have a lack of it, even in our Christian circles. So I hope that answers your question. Technology has accelerated that. And basically what technology has contributed is a worldview now that's other than biblical because of the sheer amount of screen time that people are having.
Yeah, I think you've painted a pretty clear picture. I think I'm probably, along with a lot of listeners, shocked when you said the average age of a video gamer. And just also, it just resonates very true that this isn't just a problem with our children who, you know, don't have the self-control to say no to video games or screens or their phones, but also adults. So I'd love to hear from you. What is your call? What is your challenge to adults first, before even speaking to parents and children? when it comes to digital addiction, and where do we go from here? Mm.
Well, I think what might be helpful, Liz, is to show you some of the brain scans that I started showing you off camera.
Oh, yes, please do.
So there are various, so in science, as you know, you're not allowed to make a claim unless your data is repeatable. It's the scientific method. So if I were to come out of that lab where I'm privileged to help do some research and say, this is the only data that you're allowed to use. If you use any other data than what I've told you, I'm going to get you canceled. That happened during COVID. Now that's academic suicide. I don't have enough power to get by with that, and nor should I. That's not how this works. What you want is your data confirmed or denied, so that you can, if it is repeatable, then you can start to solve problems, because you want as big a pool of data that's in agreement as you can possibly get. My point is, there are various scanning technologies now to scan the brain. And these scanning technologies exist all over the world, and they're all coming in showing the exact same thing. I'm just going to show you a couple of them. These are SPECT scans, and I sourced these from Dr. Daniel Amen. He's very famous here in America. He has clinics. You can have these SPECT scans done. He's a great guy, and these are CT scans, but when you scan for the brain, it turns into a SPECT scan, which stands for single photon emission computed tomography scan. So they're computed tomography scans for the brain. So this is a baseline, and I just got these off the internet. It's not like these have been out forever, and they've been shown in a lot of different places. So this is a healthy baseline brain, of which you then compare someone's brain scan that you think may have damage. So this is someone, for example, who smokes marijuana. And what you are seeing, and medical marijuana, it's marijuana. It's just crazy where we've gone with all this madness. But what you're seeing here is a measurement of blood flow. So if you were to take the brain out of the skull, it would not look like that. Okay. What you're seeing here is the blood flow being restricted. So the next one that I'll show you is cocaine. Now, this drug, unlike pot that went in through the lungs, this one went in through the nose. Now, you're seeing deep regions of the brain through those holes. Not only are the holes evidence that the blood's being cut off, but look deep in there. It's just abnormal. So here's where it turns digital. Video gaming can be addictive in the same way as cocaine or gambling. Now, there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Nicholas Cardaris. He is an expert in this field. He runs a detox clinic in Texas. This is from his book, Glow Kids. I want to read it with you. An ever-increasing amount of clinical research correlates screen tech with psychiatric disorders like ADHD, addiction, anxiety, depression, increased aggression, and even psychosis. So there's the mental health crisis. He's commenting on that. So we have a thing now called virtual ADHD. We have virtual autism with the exact same symptoms as autism. You medicate it, doesn't work because it's not coming organically, it's coming from the screens. And Dr. Victoria Dunkley, she'll come up in a few minutes in conversation. She specializes in that, so I'll delve into some of her work in just a minute. But let's read the second part of this. This is more about the scanning technology. Perhaps most shocking of all, recent brain imaging studies, they're not so recent now, by the way, conclusively show that excessive screen exposure can neurologically damage a young person's developing brain. And there it is again, over and over again, in the same way that cocaine addiction can. So I will just finish up and show you what pornography addiction looks like. So in this madness of scanning technology that shows this, that's the normal brain, that's the heroin brain, and that drug went in through a needle. And then there's the porn brain. And that is pure digital addiction. That drug went in through the eyes, through a screen. Porn is the number one thing, Liz, that I'm asked by pastors and Christian schools not to address. And it's by far the number one problem. Not all schools and churches prohibit me from saying it, but most do. And they have a terrible problem. There's many reasons why we could go into that later, but there's many reasons, but I'll just say that's what happens. So we don't deal with it. And then their views of sex is not healthy at all. The way that males, I speak from the male perspective, the way they look at females is not godly. It's not going to the marriage is not going to last. If they even decide to get married, they may just decide to call them their fiance and live with them forever. We're seeing all of this stuff happen because of the internet, because that's the ethos and the ethics and the worldview of those on the internet. And that's what has gotten this generation. So they're not marrying anymore. And so that's what I'm talking about. But when the brain looks like this, and I'll just put it up one more time, where you see all those holes, they're not literal holes, but it's where the blood flow is being cut off. In pornography, it's a polydrug effect. The reason why that one is so much worse than the others is because it's not just the cocaine. It's not just the heroin. It's more like a speedball, or as if you have mixed them. Because what happens over time, you stop getting high off of any drug and you have to keep going deeper, deeper and deeper. You either have to do more of the drug or you have to switch to something stronger. So people who just do one genre of pornography, once they can't be stimulated by that, they end up jumping to things like children. Now we have sex trafficking, and I'm having to speak at those things. And it just, it's mind-boggling where it's going. And yet that's the number one thing that I'm asked not to speak about, unless it's an actual conference just for that topic. But then we have this problem in the church where we just don't want to dirty the carpet, and it does dirty the carpet. And I'm not trying to, Liz. You know what I'm trying to do? Rescue children.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring good news and hope to those who are in a terrible dark place. I mean, dark place, because we have the only light that will help them. But the problem is we have this worldly ethos that says if people get upset, then you could not be right. And nobody is trying to upset anyone. We're trying to throw lifelines. But that's the rub. That's where we are. I think this goes over better in places like Africa. That's why I spend so much time there. You don't have American trappings of the seeker friendly thing going on. And they like it straight, but you know, they like to be loved just like anybody else. And if you tell the truth in love, you just don't have these controversies in some other countries. Australia's pretty bad too. They'll push back at you really hard too. And look, I know they're going to watch me, but it's too late. I've been going there too long. They know I love them. So I'm going to say it.
No, I really appreciate your honesty and your directness, because I thought it was interesting how you mentioned that there's like a digital ethos, a digital worldview that is being actively forced onto us. And we know the world has a different worldview, but to consider what we are letting into our homes, into our bedrooms, into our minds, through our phones and computers and video games, all of these things, it's startling, and we really do need to wake up. I think when we've talked about this in the past on the show, that's been the sense, is that there needs to be a reckoning. This is not a small thing. I mean, just all the areas of people's lives you just touched on, all the way to their view of the opposite sex and sexuality and marriage and relationships, nothing is left untouched by this. And so I appreciate your boldness in this. I'm really thankful. As I mentioned, I have 3 kids, 9, 11, and 13, and this is our battle. We're very clear on it, that this is the current battlefield. I mean, our children's minds have always been the battlefield. We want to raise them to be wise and God-fearing. But at this time in history, it feels like such an active attack that is, because we've let these things into our homes, and for some into their bedrooms, because of that, it is this nonstop onslaught that we have allowed. And so I feel very much like it's a time for conviction and exhortation, and tough love is the heart of God. God loves, that's why he disciplines. He loves us so deeply. He wants our full health. He wants our good. And so I really appreciate what you're doing. And I hope to encourage you to continue in America as well as around the world, to just keep having these, whoever will have you, talking about these things.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm getting ready to go to Los Angeles or Chino, the Los Angeles area, Saturday. Wow. And I'll be in Calvary Chapel. In America, I think I find the most favor with Calvary Chapel churches. And I'm not just tooting their horn. I didn't grow up in Calvary Chapel or anything, but I think I know why I find favor. one brilliant thing that they do, and there are a lot of brilliant churches and denominations in our country, but one of the things that they do that I think we could all learn from, they just teach their people. They start in Genesis, and they go to the book of the Revelation. They go line upon line, and when they get to the end of the book of the Revelation, they skip over nothing. They rinse and repeat. So when I go in there and I mention Jesus, you know, the answer to porn is, well, pluck your eye out. You know, and they immediately know Jesus said that. They don't blame me for saying something harsh and unloving. They know Jesus said that.
Yeah.
And you go into a seeker friendly place where the fog machines are all crazy. They look at me as though, dude, what did you just say? That was harsh. Like, I didn't say it. And wow. Look, I'm not judging their motives for wanting to help people and reach out into the culture. I there are a lot of people deaf on that stuff, and I'm not. I actually appreciate it. And I speak in them all the time, and even churches that are a bit weird to me, but I go. But I just think that with Calvary Chapel, the reason why I'm in so many of their churches across the country is because of that biblical foundation that they still have, that I mentioned. I was railing about a minute ago about they have biblical worldview. And the cool thing is they know the scripture. So you can't just blather on about nothing. They'll call you out. And that is so healthy. That is so healthy that they know the word, you know, and so that's the cure. But look, let's talk about some of the solutions as well. Because they're no more
hope here.
That's right. But I will warn you, it's no more comforting than the problem.
Well, okay. I'm ready.
It actually is if you have a biblical worldview. If you don't have a biblical worldview, this is going to be upsetting because we want a pill that just fixes it without us having to do anything. That's what people want from me when they come to me all the time. Help me. Then I start going through the solutions, and the word that I hate, I wrote this in digital rehab, the word that I hate the most is unfortunately. Well, unfortunately. If you don't stop saying that word, you're not going to get any help because you're going to have to cooperate in this one, you know, because you're unhealthy. All right, so here we go. Yeah. Let me show you some graphics here. This is the crux of the issue, all right? This is an issue of holiness, separation from evil, and set apart for God's use. And this is New Testament, so it's not legalism. This is not Old Testament law here. Just for those that don't know your Bible, it's 2 Corinthians 6:17. That's over in the right side of the Bible. Come out from them and be separate. And who's the them? It's the sinning world. Says who? Well, God. And touch no unclean thing. And if we do that, he will receive us. It's not pleasant to think that if we, you know, don't, if we do those things, we don't separate ourselves. I don't want to get into a big theological discussion about once saved, always saved, but that scripture is pretty plain about our issues with sin. We need to separate ourselves. I think we can all agree on that. So if I were to apply that to my phone, now, if I were to grab anybody's phone on planet Earth, it would be similar to this. Not exactly, but you would find a bunch. And the point here is helpful stuff and entertaining stuff and everything in between. If I were to apply holiness to my phone, tablet, computer, this is what that verse would do to that. Liz, all of that stuff on the left is causing horrific brain scans. But not once has anyone come to me and said, Brad, I'm so addicted to Microsoft Word. Would you please pray for me?
But there's one guy out there, Brad.
Well, I do need to qualify that statement. But the point is, the stuff on the left is what is causing those horrific brain scans.
Right.
But I must also say, it is not the content that's causing the addiction. So I used to use Excel as that joke, and I've had four accountants come to me and say, Brad, really? Let me guess. It's the macros and the formulas. Yeah. All right. Let me pray for you. So really that is what, so Dr. Victoria Dunkley, I mentioned Dr. Dunkley earlier, and if I can find the quote here, I'll stick it up on the screen. Otherwise you're just going to have to trust me that I'm not making this stuff up. She works out at UCLA, and she works a lot with children who are on the spectrum, and particularly how the screens are affecting these little children. So I can't find the cover of her book at the moment. I can send it to you later if you want. But basically, this is what she says, Liz. It is not the content that is doing it. It's the interactivity. It's using the medium. So content accelerates digital addiction, but it's the swiping. It is the rapid screen cuts.
Yeah.
It is being able to go very rapidly. It's the scrolling motion that's actually causing the dopamine levels to spike. Now, obviously, when you start getting into pornography, it accelerates it. When you get into video gaming, it accelerates it. But the addiction itself doesn't start there. The addiction starts with multitasking, which no one can actually do, but it's using the screen itself. So when we say, oh, only allow my child to use the phone for 30 minutes while I'm buying groceries, that sounds good. And I don't put parents down. They don't know what I have just covered with you. My job is to hug them and gently explain that to them, to say, you know what? I know you need to get your grocery shopping done, but babysitting them with a line and a half of cocaine is probably not the best babysitter. And then they look at you. You have another head perched right over here on your shoulder. And I don't blame them at all. I do not blame them for looking at me that way. But at some point, you just have to say, you know what? Dopaminergically, that little Peppa Pig is causing horrific things in your child. And it's evidence when you try to take it away from them, even nicely. And they start throwing the tantrums. And over time, that gets worse. Then we hear from people whose children are on the spectrum. They may have autism or they may have ADHD, especially those who are maybe Asperger's and have autism. Their brains are already hyperwired. So what dopamine levels are doing to us is horrific to them. It's majorly horrific. They start to turn violent. And the older they get, the bigger they get, the more violent they can be. And they don't really realize their strength. And so they'll hit the parents. The parents, they come to me and so they sleep with it under their pillow. If I touch it, they'll just, you know, they'll hit me. They'll do, what am I going to do? So this is where we are. And it's very complicated, but the solutions, let's talk about the solutions. Obviously in that brain animation that I showed you where I split the screen, the stuff on the left is going to have to be dealt with. And I mentioned to you earlier we need to take a good hard look. So I'm going to say something that not a lot of people will. There should not be any social media for anyone under the age of 25. But can I explain why?
Please.
Okay. And I want to show you, I don't know, how are we on time? Do I have time to explain this or should I just give you the short version?
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes.
I'll give you the short version. The prefrontal cortex, which is that area right behind our foreheads. These are the brakes of the brain, impulse control, the ability to make sound judgment. It does not exist until you're 25 years of age. So you hand a phone to a child and they're getting all that dopamine and the parents will say, can't you understand that you just need to put it down and come to dinner and do your homework? Now that's reasonable. That's logical. But to a child who has no impulse control or sound judgment, that is the job of the parent, is to maintain an unaddicted brain so that they can be the impulse control and they can be the sound judgment for the child. We call that parenting. Now, the problem is the parents also have lost their prefrontal cortex because they're addicted.
Right.
They don't have breaks either. But the answer is, and so the name of the book, Digital Rehab, it's all about detox. And the spiritual word for detox is repent. It's another dirty word. I'm sorry I brought it up on this podcast.
I like that. Detox is just repenting. That's great.
It is. It's repenting of the sin. And then the good news is the brain heals. So I know we're short on time, so let me end with this. There was a research study done, and this is old. And I'm just saying that to remind you that this information is not new. It's just coming out in the news newly, but this research project came from ABC News, and I will tell you, I don't trust the legacy media, but whenever it comes to the New York Times, which I subscribe to, and a whole bunch of other left-wing newspapers, when it comes to technology, because they have children, they're conservative as they can be. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I don't trust them. But when it comes to the tech, they will tell the truth about that, and they do excellent reporting. So this is, and I'll show you this. This is ABC's 2020. It's an old edition. The gentleman on the left, his name is David Dr. Rosenberg, is a neuroscientist at Wayne State University in Michigan. He was doing a research project on video gaming, when he realized that it is not educational at all. Minecraft, by the way, is not educational. It's very damaging. Always has been, and it's never good to let your kids play it in any amount. There's no safe amount of any video gaming whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He grabbed a cohort of kids, put them in the MRI. These are MRIs, or actually they're fMRIs, functional magnetic resonating imaging. He did a proper study. He scanned their brains, saw the damage in most of them, detoxed them by sending them off to summer camp, brought them back in after the summer camp of no technology, including television, and rescanned their brains, wanting to know one thing. He had one question: can the brain heal? So here are the pre-scans. So these are triplets. The little guy on the right, his name is Noah. He's a prolific video gamer. His brain looks very different than those on the left because the blood flow has been cut off, and the brain clearly shows it. All of that color that you're seeing on those fMRIs means the blood flow, the neurons are firing, all that stuff is good. So this is little Noah. It's a screen grab. His mother is trying to get the video game away from him to put him in the study, and he's having a meltdown. So here's the final thing I want to say. They sent these children off to summer camp with no tech, didn't reward them with a little bit on Saturday for good behavior, because cocaine is bad on Saturday, just like it is on Tuesday. I didn't see anywhere in the research that they rewarded them anyway. I can't say that 100%, but they detoxed them for 3 solid weeks. And here's what I want to leave you with. This is what God wants to do. After just 3 weeks, all of the children had results just like this. The brain completely reset. This child cannot concentrate. He is not interested in anything of value, such as his schoolwork. I would submit to you spiritually either. This child has a sponge brain. This child can only be entertained with a screen that's a keyboard and a mouse right there where he's playing the video game. That is a tennis racket. That's an analog or non-digital thing. I would say let's put Bibles in their hands after a detox. So that's what detox will do. That's what repentance will do in a very short period of time. And that is what I believe God wants to do all over this planet, is to bring restoration, to bring life, to bring healing. The problem is the repentance or the detox part, because we want to use words like balance and limit, and we want to have solutions. But once you're on coke, once you're on heroin, you can't keep taking the drug and get over the drug addiction. You can't. You have to put it away completely and let the brain return to what we call homeostasis. And in so doing, the brain will heal and then the spirit will heal. Now, this is the part you can't measure with a scanner, but we all know that there's a spirit in there that Jesus created and where Jesus actually lives. And that will come back to life as well. And then things that are actually important, like a craving for reading the scriptures, a craving to get to church and to worship, the craving to be around God's people instead of sinful people, can all be activated with a brain like that. So that's the heart of the message, believe it or not. But to get to that point, we have to discuss things like I have been discussing today. But the Lord is good. He has gone nowhere, and he is desirous of pouring out his Holy Spirit in a fresh wave where people crave him and they crave his word. And we have what is called koinonia, which is fellowship. And our social network is people, again, in the church, where we're loving on each other, meeting each other's needs under his guidance, and everything is healthy. And when we have issues, we have people with actually flesh on them right in front of us to lay their hands on us and to hug us and to love us and to be there. And that's not a virtual world. That's a real world. And that's where God wants us to be. And that's a good thing.
Wow. Thank you so much, Brad. You've given us a lot to think about. I want to remind everybody that your books are available if they want to go further with this. And like you mentioned, the family detox on your website at bradhuddleston.com. But I'm really thankful you've given me a lot to think about. I've been challenged. I've been convicted here. And just really thankful for what you're doing and thankful you've taken the time to be with us. So thank you so much. And God bless you as you continue this work into 2025.
Yeah, thank you so much, Liz. And I really do mean it. Thank you for your platform. And if there's anything I can do to serve you and, you know, your ministry there, I'm yours. So thank you very much. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Everyone, thanks so much for listening.